The passage for the sermon this morning is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the earth was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, and welcome to 2026. Let me say to you all, Happy New Year. My name is Sung Lee, and I serve as one of the elders here at Astoria Community Church. And before we begin, let us pray. Loving God, as we turn the page on 2025, and turn toward the promise of a new year, allow us to look back and to look ahead, to see the places in the past where your promises have upheld us, and to look ahead and with confidence and trust in you. May your word guide our vision, and we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I don't know if you made New Year's resolutions, but did you know that there is a day that comes on the second Friday of the new year, and it's called Quitter's Day? It is an unofficial day where folks, they tend to give up on their New Year's resolutions. And perhaps you made resolutions related to health, fitness, or finances. Some say that folks quit on their resolutions because they were too big. They were just too spectacular, too big, too ambitious. Maybe aim to lose 5 pounds instead of 30, in my case, 60. here's another, your environment. Change your surroundings. If your job is getting you down, find another one. Another suggestion is to find a support group. If you're training for a marathon, find a group. Or if you're trying to quit a bad habit, find someone to help keep you accountable. Or if you're like me, just give up on making New Year's resolutions and accept that there is no way to change yourself, your environment, or how you live. It is easy to give way to despair and to just check out. Yet Apostle Peter, he would disagree with both me and you when he writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading." You see, because of the gospel, we have a living hope through Jesus Christ. Yet, if you had a bad 2025, or through a series of unfortunate events, you've decided to quit on 2026, I want you to know that God's word provides us with not only the hope we need to know, but also the hope that we need to sustain us through difficult times. One way God provides us with this hope is by vision, which is found in Scripture, because it is easy to surrender to despair. God gives us His word to give us light when our hearts are dark, and everything, and even when everything in creation seems like it's out of whack. Our passage for this morning's sermon is from Revelation 21. Now, if you were here in 2025 in the spring, Pastor Jim, he preached from the first three chapters of Revelation, and alongside his messages, we studied these chapters in our community groups, looking at the churches of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, one way to go through Revelation is to read it as a series of visions given to Apostle John to bear witness about what God has done in Christ, and so that believers would be encouraged and blessed in knowing God is sovereign over history, and to continue to follow Him, to persevere. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." So something that did come up in the community groups was, man, can't we just finish the whole book? We should just go through the whole book. But then, of course, Pastor Jim, he did share that there could be that unhealthy interest, right? And also that fear, right? But remember, Scripture encourages us, God encourages us to read with sober hearts. With Revelation, God, he gives us visions, and we see the past, present, and future of His story. In the past, Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and ruler who loves us and has freed us from our sins to be in His kingdom. Now, in the present, for Revelation, we see the seven churches, and they're going through various difficulties. They're facing persecution from the Roman Empire. They're encountering cold hearts, an alienation by the surrounding peoples, the surrounding cultures. Both within the church and without, the church seems like it is beleaguered with a host of problems. There are false teachers, there's backsliding, immorality, and disunity within the churches. And outside, there is the threat of Rome. There are subtle ways of worshiping false idols for economic benefit and persecution. Now, after the first three chapters, you know, that's the present of Revelation, we are given these spectacular visions in heaven and in the wilderness that describe what will be. Yet, unlike Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, where Scrooge is the main character, Revelation tells us about God and how God has been at work in all of history, and He encourages us not to lose hope. Christ is on the throne, and He will not lose. From Revelation chapter 3 onwards to before our passage this morning, there are images that no artificial intelligence could ever conjure up. There are seven seals, seven trumpets. There's a woman, a dragon, a beast, a second beast, also known as the false prophet, seven bowls, and a great prostitute, Babylon. And calamity after calamity, there is that continued persecution of believers. There are plagues and destruction. There's mayhem. Yet sprinkled across these seemingly terrifying visions, sprinkled across, there is that thread, that message to believers to persevere. And there are praise songs. And we see God is triumphant throughout. And as we go through this morning's passage, let's look at these two questions. What's the vision for this passage? And why is it important for us today? So what's the vision? In this morning's passage, we see a vision of a new heaven and a new earth. Now, before you start thinking that God will obliterate everything and just replace it, there are two things to remember. Firstly, when we read the book of Genesis, the creation was good, and God had created it. It wasn't until sin shows up and enters into creation by way of Adam that death came in. So the creation was good. Secondly, when we look at verse 5, and he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." God doesn't just take everything and just throw it in the bin. No, God is making all things new. In the preceding chapter, death has been defeated. It has been swallowed up in that old Isaiah 25 language. And the old way of the world is over. The old way of decay and death that has taken away our loved ones, it's gone. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I'm at an age where my joints have been hurting, and I recently had a gout flare-up. And yeah, it's nothing to share, but to think that a knee wouldn't be able to last for 100 years and would need a replacement makes me shudder, right? Or consider 1,000 years. God, thank you for making all things new, including bad knees. So the old way, that old way that we know of death and decay in this world is gone. Now, there may be a question about verse 1, where we read about the sea. The sea is no more. I was also puzzled by this too, because I like looking at pictures of the sea. Richard Phillips, he writes, "In the symbolism of Revelation, the sea has a theological rather than a topographical meaning. The sea is the realm of evil and rebellion against God." So you see, like when you read through Revelation, also encouraging you to read through Scripture, especially in Revelation, the sea is a source of chaos and evil. And in the Old Testament, we see the darkness, the formless waters found in when you read Genesis 1. It is nice to see, you could watch a Corona beer commercial and you see like the nice blue ocean, it's clear, right? But it's another to see a dark, vast ocean that can conceal monsters. And in the ancient Near East, it is where the sea monster Leviathan or Rahab dwell. God separates, if you remember in Genesis, God separates the land from the chaotic sea. The flood in Genesis, it makes the earth unlivable. In Revelation, like a Japanese kaiju or like Godzilla, there's a beast that rises out of the sea. You know, that scary sea is concealing that monster. And that beast rises out of the sea. Babylon, described as a great prostitute, makes a throne of many waters. And the sea is also a place of the dead. Lastly, Revelation chapter 18, verses 11 to 19, it tells us that the sea is where the world's idolatrous trade takes place. Human slaves are purchased and exchanged on the seas. And this is not far-fetched if we remember the transatlantic slave trade. And when Nathan, with Nathan Ferdier, like he shared about his work with IGM, and that in the modern day, we see that there's human trafficking that takes place on the open waters around Thailand. The evil that the sea represents is gone, as Satan, the beast, the false prophet, the second beast, and the prostitute are defeated. Verses 2-4 from our passage today tells us, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people." Or manuscripts also say peoples. "And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." See, God makes his dwelling place with mankind. He tabernacles. He pitches his tent. He tabernacles with a mankind that is consisting of peoples from every tongue, tribe, and nation. And this is far from seeing, if you have seen those old classic pictures of heaven, this is a far cry from those old commercials. It's not angels playing harps on clouds. This is a renewed creation where God dwells with his people. We are not orphans, and we are not alone. And in the vision, we also see that God tenderly wipes away every tear. And the despair that we knew from the old order, that passes away. We see here fulfillment of all the promises God has made in the Old Testament. And you can also read about this in Isaiah 25, Isaiah 65. And if you don't have as a New Year's resolution, just read through the Bible. This is so important. And this is so important that God, he says in verse 5, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And this is the promise of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to have this living hope, and of an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. So, what's the vision? That's the vision. Now, what is the purpose of this vision? That is the vision for this morning. Why is it important for us today? Well, what's the purpose? This year, 2026, our main theme will be that of discipleship. And you will hear a working definition of a disciple as one who follows Jesus, is being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. And Pastor Jim can keep me honest here, and you will hear this definition throughout this year, for this year of discipleship. It is essential for our life as a church, for ACC. Discipleship, it is what the seven churches in the beginning of Revelation needed to remember. They needed to remember the one who is on the throne. When I worked as a cashier, I had to identify counterfeits quickly because I had mistakenly accepted a $100 counterfeit bill. They say that the best way to identify a fake is to know the real thing. Jesus, our Savior, is the real thing. He is legit and he is real. Disciples are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are brought into the community of the church, that bride, which is bought by the blood of Jesus. The Father creates, you read about that in Genesis. The Son is given rule, He is that King. He is the Savior. The Holy Spirit, He testifies to Christ and the church, that radiant bride made clean by the blood of Jesus. The church gathers and worships this triune God. Now, of course, you need... I'm pretty much just trying to give you all of Revelation. So the dragon, the beast, the second beast, the false prophet, and the prostitute, they are monsters. When you see the picture of Babylon, she is drunk with the blood of the saints. All right, that's a monster, okay? If there's any horror movie that you saw, that you see, that is a monster, right? Anyway, for all these folks, they are monsters and they serve as counterfeits to the triune God, to the Trinity, and his bride, the church. Satan is a deceiver and is unable to create. The beast tries to crush the faithful with persecution and power. The false prophet witnesses to the beast and misleads the earth to worship the beast with signs and wonders. The prostitute, with the allure of promises of riches and immorality, gathers the nations to false worship of idols. Now, with all that said, praise be to God that these are conquered by the blood of the Lamb. And unlike the deceit of Satan and his followers, discipleship is following the true God. Discipleship identifies the idols in our lives that we need to throw out. Discipleship helps us to identify the counterfeits that are in our lives that seek to turn our worship away from God to something else. And it is to turn away from that deceitfulness, that allure, that trickery that wants us to sin. Lastly, discipleship is what we need in this new year and years to follow, because we cannot afford to quit on God. And with all of that said, welcome to 2026, and let us pray. God, who began a good work in us, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. May he be our banner and our living hope in this new year. In the call to discipleship, may we find community in your church. May we be salt and light in our environments, knowing that one day, that God, you will make all things new. Let us persevere and hold to your promises. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.